Good evening, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good evening to Denver, Colorado. Good evening to Las Vegas and Los Angeles and to Miami. Good evening to the jungles of the north and the south and the east and the west. It is, Monday, November the 30th, last day of November 2020, right around 7:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm just here drinking my Scrumulac tea. I'm just consuming an herbal remedy that cures the throat and the nostrils of sadness. I read the book of Ecclesiastes as part of a lately produced service for this week, or this last week. And I have read through the book of Ecclesiastes in the past, but not necessarily all the way straight through. And there's a lot in there that is powerful, and it touches you, and it reminds you to not take shit too seriously. Keep in mind, this is not a service, this is a Little Saigon report. So if you hear me using coarse language, that's what that is. This too is meaningless. You are chasing after the wind. Imagine being King Solomon. I mean, King Solomon had a bazillion wives. He had a magnificent palace and temple that he built, that he finished building on behalf of his father for the Lord in heaven. He had all the wealth and power and victory and exuberance and pleasure that the Lord in heaven can provide vis-a-vis the planet Earth. But it is just the earth, folks. King Solomon had every majestic thing you could imagine. If he lived today, he would be bigger than Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates combined. He had all the wealth and all the power you can imagine. And, you know, to the extent that he was able to stay faithful to God, you know, he also obviously had God's love all the time. God was probably disappointed, given that he did turn towards Baal and Moloch and Dagon because he was chasing after women. He did turn towards those Canaanite and Philistine and Phoenician gods. Yes, indeed, he did. But God still loved King Solomon. So, if you read Ecclesiastes, knowing that King Solomon wrote it, it's a little bit weird because Ecclesiastes reads like, well, Sylvia Plath. It reads like teenage angst to some extent. It reads, and I'm not trying to belittle it because I actually find it quite meaningful, but it reads like something that would be written by someone that is an introvert and suffers from depression and frankly has more questions than answers when it comes to the Lord in heaven and the nature of the world. And yet, if you read it correctly, if you see it for what it is, it's actually a very powerful rebuke of pure negativity. It's easy to look at this life and become really negative. You're talking to somebody right now that can easily see this world as really negative all the time. And I'm sorry, 2020 is a really good year. If you're one of those people who points out the flaws in existence, 2020 was your golden year. All of the horrible human crap that we have to put up with on a daily basis, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the murder, the levels of abuse and power and torture, the enslavement, every single dark feature of the human experiment was on display so far, and 2020 is not over. Is not over, my friends. 2020 is not over. Is not yet over. And yet, I look around places like where I live and I see lots of people chasing after the wind. When I walk into the streets there, King Solomon, I see the human race reduced to cattle. reduced to the farm animal, reduced to slaves wearing masks in supplicants to some dark demon. And I look around and I see these folks wearing masks chasing after the wind, and this too is meaningless. But not Jesus. Jesus has meaning. Jesus saved us. This material life is kind of stupid and pointless at times. Not total crap, that's not the point, but no matter how good you are at it, everything falls apart. Even Beethoven's hands turn to dust. And this too is meaningless. Anywho. Next topic. This may not be a long podcast tonight. Oh, should we discuss the nature of life? It was kind of sunny today. The deep beasts of the caves came out to see the light. Yes, indeed, the sun came out today for a bit. I saw a little sprain, but it wasn't much. There are beasts that live deep in the caves under Seattle. They are covered in walnut and spikes, broken glass, and the very ancient grievances. There are creatures that live in caves below Seattle that are covered in spikes and crystal and little hoses that shoot out gasoline. The sun came out today, and the creatures that live in the caves and in the tunnels, the creatures that live in bunkers and in closets, the creatures that live in your sewer, the creatures that live in your sewage tank, the creatures that live in your rain barrels came out to see the sun and to shout with one voice, "Curse this lie." Curse the lie of a broken sun. These could be my last weeks on planet Earth. These could be the weeks that end my life, and you know what? I've had a good one. I've known a couple women, technically speaking. And if you count imaginary lovers, the lovers of the fantasy brain, the brain that is so lonely, it's, you know, has looked at, hasn't paid for, hasn't used credit cards, but has looked at naked women. If you count them as my fantasy wives, I think Jesus does. I've known a few women. I've had good food. I remember going to El Gaucho's, this Argentinian dinner club back in the year 2000 with a good friend of mine. I'd just finished off, you know, a fair portion of my first year at Rolls-Royce, and I had money in my pocket. I was out of the army for a year. I felt like I had a future again. I had a brand new girlfriend. And yes, Sergeant Rogers was right. You know, Sergeant Rogers told me in 1995, he said, "Cadet Sullivan, you are going to marry the first woman you have sex with." But yeah, the year 2000, we were at El Gaucho's, and I remember spending too much money, but I had the money to spend. I remember laughing. I remember talking about a future. In fact, even a future that wouldn't involve, like, big box stores and things like Amazon. Amazon was new at that point, but people suspected that Walmart and Amazon and organizations like that were going to swallow up the world. Anywho, I remember these really cool conversations, this really good steak, a few bottles of pretty decent wine, and I remember thinking the future looks amazing. Sure, I wasn't doing anything fancy. I was just some process improvement person doing some project management. I was going to end up a middle-level white collar, whatever, but I was happy. The people I worked with were cool people. I liked my job. I liked the money. I could afford to live. I didn't feel like I was chasing my own debt. And the world didn't seem like it was turning to crap, but this too is meaningless. And yeah, I've been in love. I mean, love's a mess. Love's a mess. Cupid is a piece of shit. Cupid is a piece of shit. But love is good. It's good to be in love. You know, I think there's a lot of truth to that, to the verses from Ecclesiastes that two are stronger than one. This is true. And it would be better in some ways to be going through whatever the fuck this is with someone else right now. Maybe if only to bounce ideas, one goldfish to another. What the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? That's a good reason. But anyways, I was in love once. I was married once, only once. Once was enough. And you know, full disclosure, I screwed up my marriage. I didn't cheat with women, but I did cheat with marijuana. And my ex-wife made a good argument. Basically, I didn't have the courage to explain that I needed to have some therapeutic relationship with this plant. But I also think I had assumptions about her that turned out not to be true. I thought she was more of a hippie. You know, most people are not really hippies. In fact, hippies weren't really hippies. I think reality kicks in and you realize you just can't sit around smoking dope all day. So yeah, I screwed up my marriage, but I was married once. And there were some, I think there were a few, some good times. I don't know. It's entirely plausible that Sergeant Rogers was right and he was trying. And you know, it's funny. In a biblical sense, Sergeant Rogers had cursed me. Because really, when you say to someone, you will marry the first person you have sex with, that's kind of a curse, Sergeant Rogers. That's right, Sergeant Rogers, you cursed me. You cursed me with... I'm kidding. He was a really cool dude. One of those people from the past. One of those people I'm glad I knew. When I say I lived a good life, I got to know some good people. I also met a couple pieces of shit. In fact, I think you could argue that I met more than a few pieces of shit. And in recent years, I met at least one gigantic craphead, which I don't want to talk about. But I've also met some cool people in recent years. You all know my friend Jim. He's cool. I met him. We had some rocky times. I think I take 50% ownership of that. But we, you know, made contact again. And I think it's been good for both of us. I think he wishes I was more hopeful in the way that he is about certain things. But the fact is I'm not. And God bless him for being hopeful in the way he is. I'm just not. I have a sense of a kind of destiny that approaches, and it's not going to be pretty. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. And I also keep getting sick of that bullshit. Guys, the end of the world began the very day you were born. That is also one of the messages of Ecclesiastes. If you're asking yourself when the end of the world started, it started the very moment you were conceived. I'm not saying that your soul disappears, but we use the word, the world. The world is poop and panties. The world is hamburger and acid rain. The world is orca whales that won't have babies. The world is pizza that won't be delivered. The world is beer that eventually goes flat, motherfucker. That's the fucking world. Okay? The world started coming to an end the very fucking moment you were born. And we all gotta get over it. When we're kids, and I get it, parents have to, like, keep that one from you as long as possible. You got to keep that one from them because people freak out. It's one of the dysfunctional things about America today. Think about, you know, Ray Kurzweil. And he and a few other people have this message. And you know, it's not solely him. It's also von Neumann. It's also the whole techno-utopia, technocratic bullshit, technophonic. Anyways, but think of Ray Kurzweil. What has he been promising for like a couple decades now? If you live into the 2040s, you get to merge with the machine, and you get to become transcendent. You become miraculous unto yourself. You will live forever. Isn't that amazing? But that also is bullshit. In fact, I would add a phrase to Ecclesiastes. I love the chasing after the wind. God bless you, King Solomon. I love the whole, this is also meaningless, God bless you, King Solomon. I love the phrase, I saw some evil today, I'm going to steal that one because I live in Seattle. But I'm going to add a phrase I wish I could have, you know, I would add. And it would be, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. There is so much in this world that is bullshit, and it is meaningless because it is the world. That's not to say that the world is not there for a reason. It is. It's God's plan. And this is also in Ecclesiastes. We all seek after knowing God's plan, but perhaps the greatest wisdom is we're not going to know it until we get out of this world. In this world, we are separate to some extent from God. We're with God, but we're also separate. We're in this world. We're in this world of material stuff. We're in this world of things. But one day, we will shed the skin of this earthly body, and we will go to our final destination. I hope to make it to heaven. I have no guarantee. But the world comes to an end. So I'm sick and tired of people saying, Dan, do you think the world's coming to an end? You know, here's the simple fucking answer. Your world is coming to an end. My world is coming to an end. That's always been the truth. It's the charlatans like Ray Kurzweil that should piss you off. It's Big Pharma that promise you, take the new pill, take the new pill, take the new pill and live like a king forever. Live like a king forever if you take the brand new shiny pill. If you get the brand new treatment at the fancy hospital, no one ever dies. Everyone gets to retire and hella ski galactically on Olympus Mons until the end of time because no one ever dies. Right, no one ever dies. Because, you know, the physical world can be manipulated with science and engineering. Right, with science and engineering, with the universities and the great researchers, the professors, the doctors, all the alchemists, all the witches and warlocks, all the Merlins and wizards and ghosts and demons, they all come together and you can live forever. Except you can't. So. And I know you're probably saying, Dan, what do you mean these are your last weeks on Earth? Well, let's think about that for a second. I really don't know how many weeks I have left. I don't. Neither do you. I have an intuition, not a desire. Frankly, I wish I had, you know, some rich benefactor who could provide me with enough wealth to get the fuck out of Seattle. I figure with 10 or 15 grand, I could probably get a place rented somewhere, fill it with food, buy myself about a year's worth of rent, maybe. Maybe that would be more like 20 grand. I'm talking about in the countryside. I don't know. Maybe that's not possible, but I thought about that. I thought maybe that's what, you know, I need to do is I need to just go rent someplace and live someplace if I could get the money together. But that's like fantasy thinking. You know, I think maybe years ago I had an opportunity at many points, many junctures to turn left instead of right. But instead I did things. And frankly, not all of them were bad. I'm not going to list out the things I did. But I would say the bulk of them were good things. The problem is a lot of good things have bad consequences. That's also reality. That's also kind of a message of Ecclesiastes if you really read it. You can live a good life and do the right thing and you can still fail. You can be a total piece of shit and rise like a turd to the top, like Bill Gates. Okay? That is also meaningless. Yeah. I read an article today about how I think they're going to bring back the firing squad as an option for federal death penalties. And here's the thing, guys. I'm an anarchist, so you know I don't believe in government. I'm also a Christian, so I have a deep sense of wanting to apply Christian justice. I believe in what I would call the innate sort of immune system that develops in a healthy community. Let's first just quickly get out of the way what a healthy community is. One of the features of a healthy community is it's a free community, which means that as long as you're not bothering other people, you get to do what you want. But the key idea here is bothering, because within this free community, you've made a choice to live next to people, and which means that implicitly you've made an agreement to treat them with the same level of respect you would expect to be treated with, and you should be thinking about it. But it doesn't need laws, it doesn't need a homeowners association. That is the way things should work. And ideally, people get out of their houses, they go to a public square that someone hosts, and they trade, and they talk, and they discuss, and the community grows, and it prospers over time. And it's the case that in no matter what world you imagine, they're going to be terribly shitty people. I don't know how else to say it. That is also in the Bible. That is also in Ecclesiastes. That no matter what happens, no matter how wise the king is, no matter the conditions of the world, you will have evil. And so the question is, well, what do you do with that, Dan? Don't you need cops and judges and prisons and firing squads? And my answer is no. You just need people who are willing to defend themselves and their neighbors as part of a community. Here's the thing. If you actually capture someone in the act doing something and you bring it to the community can, if they desire, hold a trial. The community can, if they desire, kick the person out. I think this is the right of the community to kick a person out if there's really good evidence that they're a killer. But the bottom line is, the most likely outcome is someone will shoot that person. There is a natural immune system that develops in a healthy community, and part of that is a kind of rejection of legalistic bullshit. It's not to say that I believe in revenge, I don't, but a lot of these things are not controversial. You see somebody raping somebody, I kind of think you have the right to shoot the rapist. You see someone abusing a child, I think you have a right to shoot that person. I'm not saying spanking or mild corporal punishment from parents. I don't feel good about that, but that to me is something that would not fit the category. But you know what I mean, pedophilia. If you see people abusing children in that way, I think you have a right to blow their brains out. I really do. I think that Jesus would be okay with that because you are preventing other crimes. People who are abused grow up to be abusers. I hate to break it to you, but that's not just a fucking cliche. Broken people do broken things. So I think in a healthy community, you don't have to worry about firing squads and prisons and judges and cops, because in a healthy community, people take care of their own. Does that mean it'll be perfect? No. And I do fear that the first time some murderer is caught, but people have some ambiguity about the meaning of justice, I do fear that that is one of those moments where a healthy community might choose to do something stupid, like create a government. But you still don't have to. The Bible has examples of people being judges. And the judges were not perfect. Oh, I hate to break it to you. The kings of Israel were not perfect either. They weren't. So as bad as the time of Judges supposedly was, I kind of think it was a really cool time, as terrible as the time of Judges was, that was probably one of the freest times in the history of Israel. the book of Judges. And yes, it was probably like the Wild West. And yes, the judges got corrupt. But that also, too, was a lesson. And listen, you can believe the kings won't be corrupt, but that, too, is meaningless. Okay? The kings are just as corrupted as the judges. That was one of the lessons the people of Israel needed to learn. The Lord in heaven said, you do this, this is what will happen. And the Israelites say, well, you know, we want a fancy king just like the Philistines. I mean, the Philistines have a fancy king covered in diamonds and rubies and emeralds. This fancy king has elephants covered in iron swords and a crown that glistens in the night. Yeah, I think it was like that, 1 Samuel chapter 8, and a particular part of the Bible I quote often. We need a fancy king, and Lord says, listen, you get your fancy king, you're going to get a lot of fancy problems. So getting back to the core topic here, you know, yeah. Last topic, so there's this, okay, I go to zerohedge.com still because, how can I phrase this? As corrupted as everything is and as owned as zerohedge.com appears to be on the topic of the COVID or what I call the monkey herpes, they are still kind of a place where you see some stuff that isn't total shit. That being said, most of it's total shit now. Most of it's crap. Most of it's propaganda, and the stuff that's not propaganda seems to be enthralled by some kind of propaganda, so it's sort of like fanfic propaganda. Fanfic propaganda. So I was on Zero Hedge, and they have these, you know, these panel ads, you know, these ads that sort of go through a slideshow on the right and left-hand side of the web page, these panel ads, these advertisements. Well, one of them comes up for something called DEMS. That's Delta Echo Mike Zebra, DEMS ETF, Exchange Traded Fund. DEMS ETF, basically an ETF based around people that donated to the Democrats. You got to read the description. I don't want to. I feel like closing out this podcast on a non-shitty note. But basically, this exchange-traded fund is structured based upon the donations by the owners of the firms that are represented by the fund. That's crazy, corrupt bullshit. That's third century. That's third century Rome. Let's buy the empire. The Praetorian Guards is on sale, $199 a share. We can sell you the Roman Empire for $1.99 a share, half a shekel, a third of a coin. There are 40 quadrillion shares. You'll have to buy them all. And then you can be the emperor. You could be the emperor. Yeah. So the Dems ETF. And listen, you know, the whole thing is broken. I'm a believer in free enterprise. We don't have free enterprise on the Death Star. We have a really crooked marketplace with, you know, stormtroopers pointing laser cannons at people. That is what we have. It is broken. It is corrupt. It is overly legalistic in the worst way possible. And the outcomes are toxic and destructive. Arguably, if I'm right about the net impact of debt-driven economy since, you know, the year 1914, arguably destructive to the ecology, to the whole fucking planet. Debt is not functional. It isn't. It never was. There is no such thing as the magical growth fairy. Okay? There is such a thing as equilibrium. And if you support debt, you don't believe in equilibrium. I'm so sorry, douchebag. And that includes the concept of an equilibrium price, you motherfucker. Equilibrium and debt do not go well together. Dems ETF is exactly the kind of scromulac that I would have harvested and put into a pot for Christmas Day 2026.